This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 596, The 5 Million Gold Mount. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2017. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever-boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing there, Medros?
Besides technology, I'm doing great.
Well, technology has a nasty habit of biting you in the butt sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And we also have Fandeth. How you doing, Fan?
Hi, I'm fabulous. Totally. No, I'm pretty good. It's a nice day off.
Yeah. It's really nice when it's actually, like, warm and nice for a holiday.
Yeah, the whole weekend was nice, which does not normally happen for May long.
No, usually rain at least one day.
It rained on Friday. It rained pretty good.
We needed that. We needed it bad.
Yeah. And, I mean, they lifted the fire ban for the weekend because of the rain.
Yeah.
Yay! I mean, there's other bad things that happened, you know, this past week, but that's not WoW related, so we could just, you know, cry about it in our own little corners.
We just won't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yep.
Go Tampa Bay. Go Tampa Bay. That's all I'm saying.
Go Bolts. You gotta say the short form.
I don't know who I want to win.
Since we're getting into this, I mean, it'd be nice to see Ovi hold a cup, but it'd be just as nice to see Stamkos get a cup. I have no support for the Golden Knights.
I only reason I want the Knights to win is because I have two of their high scoring players.
Yeah.
See,
and I like money.
The problem for me with the Knights is that I heard and saw a lot of dirty stuff from them, and I don't feel like I can support a team that does dirty stuff like I was hearing. So
I don't know. They don't dive nearly as much as Subban does.
No, but they do dive a fair bit, and they did apparently do some pretty underhanded stuff in Vegas to the Jets. So at least that's what I was reading anyway.
Oh, the lights thing?
Yeah.
No. See, the thing with that is, they showed up to practice early, and the building managers are only obligated to turn on the lights at the agreed-to time, and so that's what they did. Other teams have done that before, whatever. It's just playoff shenanigans. It's fine.
I suppose.
Anyway, we said we weren't going to get into it before we got into it.
let's move on then. I guess, how's your weekend out there, Toasty?
It was pretty quiet. It was quiet mostly because I decided to turf half my UI again, because I wasn't happy with it. So I spent most of last week rebuilding it, and it's still not done. Because I can't find a raid frames replacement that I'm 100% happy with. And which hasn't prevented me from playing, mostly. Like, I'm still playing on my warrior and my shaman, which is great. Not so much on my priest, because raid frames are kind of important if I'm playing a healer, like a little bit. So
that's true. Yeah,
I did not get to play my priest as much as I was planning on doing. But yeah, what did I do? I just did a bunch of world quests and stuff like that. Honestly, it wasn't anything terribly exciting as far as live stuff goes. I popped into the beta and did some more exploring on Boralis. Or, that's the name of the city? What's the name of the city now? The Alliance City. Oh, is it Boralis?
I'm not even sure. I thought you weren't playing Alliance stuff on beta.
But you start out in the city, so you can just explore a bunch.
Oh, okay.
So that's all I did.
That's fair.
Yeah, I didn't actually play any of the content. I just liked exploring, because I wanted... Because the city looks fantastic. It's really large. It feels like an actual city.
Yeah.
Instead of, like... So, as opposed to some of the other areas. So that was... I'm really enjoying the aesthetic there, so that's really cool. I think that's it. I mean, honestly, it's been really nice lately, so I've been spending a lot of time outside.
Mm-hmm. Especially this weekend.
Yeah. I foresee this upcoming week, I'm going to be getting a lot more computer time in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Well, first of all, the Overwatch anniversary event starts tomorrow.
Fair enough.
So I'll be grinding loot boxes because I can't afford to just buy loot boxes again. And I really want to get my UI finished up because past couple of weeks, Seraphis has been inviting me to raid with him. And last week I couldn't because, hey, I didn't have raid frames. And at that time there was a bunch of other stuff missing as well. I had to rebind a bunch of stuff, so, like, yeah. I would not have been in a good spot to raid last week. Even content that's on farm, so I'm hoping to get that done by... I'm hoping to get everything done by Thursday so I can raid. Just for something to do. Yeah, that was my week. How about you guys?
Pan, how about you?
I'm trying to think of what I did in WoW. I played some Diablo just to finish the stuff I wanted to do for the seasonal character, but I started playing my Laughing Skull Warlock a little bit, just to try to catch him up on everything, because I think next expansion I'm going to go back to my Horde tune. Sorry, Toasty. It's kind of just the way it is. And so today I had logged on and I was kind of liquidating some of the stuff that I have in the in my bank. I was throwing that up on the auction house, and oh man, I don't remember how much I said I made. Like 30,000 gold from the random junk, like herbs, tons of herbs, and just other fish or other cooking mats. I think I sold a stack of Falcosaur eggs right before the show started for, I think it was like 2,000 gold or something like that, and those are super easy to get just from doing the warden's thing, killing those Falcosaurs.
Yeah, I was just thinking, that's not a hard thing to get, and you got 2,000 gold for a stack?
I think it was something like that, yeah.
How much is in a stack? 20?
200.
200?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to take quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, just as you go... I pick up everything. Sell all the grays. Yeah. I have a macro to sell all the grays and everything else that's, like, a material for professions. I just throw that in the bank, in my mat bank, or ship it off to somebody else, or sell it, and so... or use it. So that's kind of what I've been doing, is just holding them. And yeah, I made bank off of it. Just looking at my characters there, my Dalaran account, or on Dalaran, I have like 715,000 gold. On Laughing Skull, I'm down to 178,000. And I swear I was over 500,000 or 600,000 last expansion. So I don't know where that all went. But it did. Other than that, not really anything else super notable. Definitely, you know, kind of getting into things and trying to get this character kind of more up to snuff. He's pretty low for item level right now. And he has no legendaries at all, which is very sad.
That's the true struggle of Legion right now when you're trying to start up an ult. Like, oh, this ult is mostly geared up, but I don't have any legendaries. I guess I'm not playing it until I get it. Or not playing it, not doing anything meaningful until I get at least two.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I definitely am not as strong as my Dalaran character. He dies super easy. I can't just, you know, Malefic Grasp or Drain Soul or whatever it is to kill it. I have to be a little bit more mindful of what's going on. But that's okay.
I'm learning those lessons playing my shaman. Like, oh, a group of seven mobs? No problem. I got this. And I don't got this.
At least you can thunderstorm them, and you said you're elemental, right?
Depends on my mood.
Oh.
Sometimes yeah. I'm playing elemental, sometimes I'm playing enhancement.
Well, you can because thunderstorm and get them off and then ghost wolf and run away.
Maybe.
Run away!
Honestly, I keep forgetting thunderstorm exists.
What?
I just keep forgetting about it.
Oh, okay. It's like typhoon if you're playing a druid. Like, that's number one. Just push it back, push it back.
Yeah, I had to have somebody tell me about all the movement boosting aspects of different classes. Because I was like, you know, I've got some classes that have some really good boosts to their movement, but it's really annoying that I have so many that don't. And I went through some of them, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, use this spell. I'm like, really? Yeah.
What I'm talking about is just like the knockback stuff. So Thunderstorm will shoot everybody away.
Yeah.
And then Typhoon just pushes them away.
That reminds me, when I was playing my Warlock back in the day on Laughing Skull. That was during Warlord, so you had to get at least a bronze in the Proving Grounds before you could queue up for Heroics. And I would get through most of those waves just fine, but there was one wave where I'm like, you know what, if I had an interrupt, then I could get through this no problem. And I didn't know what my interrupt was. I was going through it and going through all my spells like, this doesn't sound like it'll do it. And eventually I just asked on Twitter, what's the Warlock interrupt? Because I can't find it. I think Corvallis finally replied to me like, yo, use this. Like, this made it 100 times easier. I got bronze the first try after that.
Nice.
Well, I guess that was one of the good things about Proving Grounds back in the day. It forced you to find that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, I definitely never used whatever spell that was that I used to interrupt it. I don't even think it was a traditional interrupt. I think it was just a stun.
Oh, okay. Like, maybe? My brain is dying.
I think I remember the animation. There was something purple crashing into the ground.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't think it's Ankle-Den. That's not Ankle-Den.
No.
No.
Although Isle of Gul'dan has that. Oh, wow. I don't know why I can't remember that.
I don't remember what it was now. Clearly, I've played my Warlock much.
I used to use it all the time.
Yeah, I don't remember it. oh, well. Not like I play that Warlock a lot right now anyway. Did you get up to anything else, or was that pretty much it?
That's it.
Alright, cool. What did you get up to, Medras?
Not too much. When I realized Thursday night that there was the World Quest event weekly event going on, I quickly went and got the quest on all my tunes. Proceeded to do as much as I could that night with my tunes to get some completed. Unlike most other times, I actually made sure to prioritize what I was using. So I went through and I figured out which characters had the most resources or least resources. I made sure to do them first. So it's really nice to be able to sit there and actually not worry about some of those characters who were at like 2,000 or 3,000 resources, not be able to do stuff, which came in real handy when it came time to do the most recent round of when it comes to the next round of command center stuff, because that can go through like 4,000 to 6,000 resources in a character. So it was it was a good week overall. Didn't do a whole lot of heavy stuff, but did a lot of world quests this week. So that was pretty much my week, and I'm probably gonna do some more after the show tonight. So
it was the world quest event.
Yeah, it ends tomorrow.
Huh.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Feeling real stupid, because that's pretty much all I did this week. Oh, a bunch of world quests.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that would be kind of rough.
Well, you know, maybe you're like me and your quest log is full. Because stupid reasons.
No, no, it's not.
I mean...
By any stretch.
I don't understand why we still have, like, a cap on our quest log. Like,
isn't that not going to be a thing in BFA? I remember reading that somewhere.
I thought that was going to be a thing for Legion, but apparently that didn't happen, so...
They raised the limit at one point, but, I mean, just... there's old quests that I want to keep around because I want to do them one day. And I don't want to go hunting for them or forget about them. And then there's the stupid pet quest that I can't even get rid of. That counts towards my limit.
Or was it a count-bound quests that won't count towards your limit anymore? There was something that won't count towards your quest limit anymore.
I mean, I don't understand why there's a limit. Like,
oh, absolutely. Like, yeah,
it's 25. There's nothing about that number that makes any sense from, like, a coding standpoint.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
It's old and archaic and dumb. I disagree. I do not condone that.
Well, then I guess it's a good thing they don't even ask your permission, eh?
Maybe I should just, you know, play more and finish off my stupid quests.
Why would you finish stuff? That's just ridiculous.
I don't know.
You gotta save that stuff for when there's nothing to do.
Like, I'm sure I still have one from way back to do something with the oracles or the other thing in back in Lich King.
Oh, so my Shadowmourne quest?
Yeah.
I had that. I remember the only reason I actually went out of my way to finish that is because there were so many quests in my quest log, and I didn't want to get rid of any of them. But I also didn't feel like doing any of them. Except Shadowborn. I'm like, well, this will do the job of clearing out my quest log. So I guess I'll do that. Whatever. But on the plus side, it gave me the Crimson Death Charger, which I was going to sell off for... I think I sold it off for 90k at the time, which was pretty good, especially considering, like, I already had a Crimson Death Charger. Because somebody put it up on the auction house for something stupidly small, like 3k. I'm pretty sure that was a typo.
I imagine so, yeah.
But I you know, that's their problem, not mine. Yep.
That's definitely not your problem.
thank you for asking. So yeah, daily quests and wait, hold on. Maybe I should read it instead of reading the actual headline. Daily quests and quest log changes in Battle for Azeroth. So the quest log limit isn't being increased beyond 25, however, some quests are not counted towards that limit anymore. Anything marked as a count quest, like many battle pet quests, no longer count towards the 25 quest limit in the quest log.
Yay.
See, I just want to be able to delete that damn battle pet quest I have had for 3 expansions.
Right?
Hey, it's an account level quest now, so you can just, you know,
but
keep that thing.
Just get rid of it. Just let me delete it. I don't
care. Just collapse the category like I have.
But it'll keep coming back. It'll keep popping up every time. It's always there on every tune.
You just collapse the category.
On the one tune, and then I go to another tune, and it's there.
Yeah. Just keep doing that.
Well, you have a limit of, what, 50 tunes? So you only have to do it 50 times.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
No, 50 times that is at not the solving most. The problem. That is not at all solving the problem, guys.
I mean, it's hiding the problem, which is basically solving it.
Yeah. I mean, as a software guy, that totally fixes problems for me.
Or they could just give me the ability to unlock to delete it and not have it in my account.
If I can't see the problem, then it's not a problem.
There you go.
The problem is that I can see the problem, so therefore it's a problem.
Sounds like you're the one with the problem.
You wouldn't see the problem if you collapsed it.
Yeah, see? There you go. Problem solved.
Okay.
Toasty and Fandek.
So
problem solvers
I
anonymous.
I decided that I can never work at your company with that attitude.
Thankfully, fair. I don't apply that to my work.
Good.
For anybody at work who listens to this show other than Fan.
Don't worry, Fan. I don't think Fan listens to the show either, so it's fine.
I do sometimes.
I try to do it once a month. Just to see how stupid I sound. Spoiler, I sound stupid constantly.
Oh, don't worry. I don't listen because I know I'm stupid every day.
Like, there's number one episode I listened to where I'm like, oh, wow, can't believe I said that. Why would I say that? You're an idiot. And then I move on with my day. Mostly.
Well, Zephariah, the problem with letting you do it for me is that'd be account sharing, which is against the rules for World of Warcraft. But I thank you for the offer.
Now, you guys, you could stream on Twitch, and she could just be in Twitch chat and tell you what to do. And that would not be account sharing, and that would be legit. And see, problem solved. You come up with these excuses that don't work, and, you know, Toasty and I will fix them.
Okay. I have many words for you, none of which I can say on the show, but be sure to stick around for the post-show.
I mean, I don't disagree with you where I don't really want that quest to be there, because I'm never going to do it. You know, right now, it's sucking up one of my 25 that I'm allowed to have, and I can't pick up the next quest because I need to finish one of these ones, and a lot of them are stupid dungeon ones that I really do have to go finish.
Frasley, I think that Zephariah and Emma would be a really dangerous combination to be together in the same room. Just saying. Anyways, let's move along to our actual content of the show. That'd be a good plan, I think.
Like sponsors?
Sure. So our new sponsor is the folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They're all over Twitter, all over the internet. They make collectible final figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft, Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside of the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Game of Thrones, and Marvel. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is a really interesting one that is not... Okay, there is one person in the WoW community who I think would really enjoy this line of Funko Pops. His name is Mr. Rossi. So the first one we have, and I actually had to look up the pronunciation here, because no idea how to do this. It's Stigmoloch. It is a dinosaur Funko Pop from the Jurassic World 2 series. And it looks really, really entertaining to see. It's kind of like a baby dinosaur from the appearance here. It does not look like a full-grown dinosaur. So I'm assuming it's a picture that's in the... From like a point in the movie, but there's the picture in our Discord for anybody who wants to look it up. And it's a really cute dinosaur. I really liked it when I first saw the picture of these a while back. Now, the Funko Pops for the series are releasing June 22nd, and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which they're supporting the movie, that I think comes out... that comes out in a few weeks, I think.
Maybe.
No, it also goes on June 22nd, so I guess they come out the same day as the movie comes out. But, yeah, we'll talk about those for the next few weeks. If anybody wants to tweet Matt Rossi, feel free to let him know that we're doing dinosaurs for the next few weeks.
See, when you said it was something Rossi would appreciate, I immediately assumed it was a Kraken.
I'm not aware of any Kraken Funko Pops. I will definitely let the people of Funko know that they need to make a Kraken Funko Pop, and we can have Matt Rossi on to talk about it.
Oh, man, that's an old callback. Oh, that's from...
A little bit dated.
That's at least 9 years old.
Yeah, it's a bit old. But, yeah, so that is our Funko Pop. Now, if you want to take a look at what Funko has to offer... check out their shop. It's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use the code Shop10 to save 10%. And we thank Funko for their support of the show.
That is a super cute Funko. I might be tempted in it as well.
Oh, wait till you see the last one we got. That one's a pretty good one too.
I can hardly wait.
All right, well, tell us what's going on this week first.
Well, it's, you know, pretty quiet week, really. We only have one weekly event. That's the Wrath of the Lich King Time Walking. That's going to be from May 22nd to the 28th. And then also on May 27th, which is Sunday, is the Glowcap Festival. So that's where you go to Zangarmarsh and go farm mushrooms, I guess? I remember doing that way back in the day in BC, and you could buy things with that, but I don't know exactly what the festival is, but yeah, it's one of those micro holidays, something to check out. That's it for cool. This week in WoW. Oh no, next week will be too early to talk about the month, about June, so we'll do that in a couple weeks.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. All right. So I guess let's talk about the first news item.
All right. So as anybody who is paying attention to the Blizzard esports throughout the year is aware, all the finals for a lot of their major tournaments happen at BlizzCon. But there's a little bit. There's parts of the tournament that happened the week prior. Now, previously, we would just be able to watch it on stream and that's it. But this year, they're trying something different where we can watch the Arena World Championship and the Heroes of the Storm Global Championship during the week prior as part of a live audience kind of deal. I believe they're spreading it over 4 days?
I think so.
Yeah, so the HGC finals are going from Thursday to Sunday, and looks like the WoW Arena is Friday to Sunday. So if checking out some of those esports events are your thing, and you happen to be in the California area for BlizzCon, or even not for BlizzCon, if you just happen to live there, if you want to check that stuff out, between October 25th and October 29th, you'll be able to view those at the Blizzard Arena in Los Angeles.
So here's the question I have. Is this the first time they've actually had in attendance people for the week preceding BlizzCon events?
I believe yes.
Okay. Because I know, like, when I last went, we arrived early enough that there was still esports stuff going on, and that was just an online streamed thing.
Right.
And I sat there and had breakfast with some of the people who were the camera crew and the people doing the recording of that, and they had some pretty impressive things to say, but they always felt like it was lacking for the lack of an audience, whereas a lot of esports stuff that gets good ratings or gets good stream numbers has an audience to react to what's going on the screen.
Well, this year they're going to have it at least for the WoW Arena and the Heroes Global Championship. So I believe it says here single tickets to the WoW Arena and HTC games are available $30 per day. Yeah. And if you want to do a behind-the-scenes tour, that's $50. So then you can do a behind-the-scenes tour of the whole event as well. Unfortunately, they're not doing a... They don't have a pass thing available so you can watch all the events. If StarCraft was your thing, they're not... They're unfortunately not doing anything for that. Because, I believe their response to that was that the StarCraft event is filmed in an area that doesn't have a large space for a live audience. So they've opted to just not do that instead. That makes sense, but I imagine if there's a lot of demand for these things, for these two events, that they might consider expanding it to the StarCraft 2 WCS tournament as well. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Unfortunately, I'm getting there like a day late. I think I get there on the 30th? Just checking now. Yeah, I get there on the 30th. So I won't be able to partake in any of these events. Had I gotten there earlier, I think I would probably check some of this out. The Heroes one for sure. Because I really like watching the Heroes stuff live. I don't know, if you guys were going down, was this something that you'd probably check out?
Probably not. Well, maybe. It's only $30.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, in classic Blizzard fashion, they announced this on Thursday last week. 4 days ago, this went up. So, like, you know, people have already started planning their trips to BlizzCon and booked tickets. And
yeah.
Very, very, very poor planning on this post because...
You know, I've said this before and I'll say this again. I really feel like compared to other cons, Blizzard doesn't do this very well. Like, San Diego Comic-Con announces the date of their next con at the keynote, at least opening up the con itself. Other cons like C4 here in Winnipeg, New York Comic-Con... Other big cons, they have their dates set long before the event the current event happens. I don't get why Blizzard doesn't announce it sooner, give people a chance to plan instead of holding out until like announcing it a few weeks before tickets go on sale. It just doesn't make any sense to me why they continue to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, fortunately, the last five. Have been pretty... These last five have been consistently the first weekend of November. So it allows a certain amount of assumptions to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? One year they might change that. Or they might not.
Well, I mean... In within 2 years, they're now out of their current planning. Because then they're into October. And then they're actually holding it over Halloween. Which... will absolutely impact on their ability for people to attend. Like, family people are out completely. No family person is going to sit there and go to BlizzCon instead of take their kid out for Halloween.
Really? I didn't... Where did you... Maybe I should look at the calendar.
Well, currently is 2nd to 3rd. So, 2019 will be... 1st to 2nd, and then 2020 would be, I believe, if they stay with the current thing, it would be the 30th and 31st.
See, my assumption...
Or they move it to the 6th to 7th.
Yeah, my assumption has always been it's always going to be the first weekend, like the first full weekend in November. So, I would have assumed that it would have pushed it to the, in the case of 2020, the second week of November, because that's the first weekend that's fully in November.
Well, I mean, I get that. However, if you look at 2019, I mean, you're still asking people to be in California on Halloween. Like, unless you fly out Friday morning for BlizzCon, you're leaving your kid during the day on Halloween.
Yep.
So, I mean, I thought this year, with people flying out on the Wednesday being on Halloween, I thought that was pushing it. But next year would definitely push it for me if I was going and I had a family. I'd be saying, Blizzard, you need to move it to the 8th and 9th next year. Anybody with family is going to have a problem with BlizzCon next year, I feel.
That would totally be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
That'll make it easier for me to buy tickets.
This year, the only reason that I can't go is, well, there's multiple reasons, but it's right after Haley's first birthday. And yeah, it's also like, I mean, I'd have to go earlier to be there at a respectable time. So there's the whole Halloween thing. And
yeah, like for me, I always try to arrive on Tuesday, because I want Wednesday as a do something around the area kind of thing, and then Thursday is pick up your badge, and then there's Calm Before the Storm and Wowhead and all that other stuff. Like Thursday's booked. Anybody arriving on Thursday, I feel they're setting themselves up for failure, because you're going to be waiting in line for your badge plus. You're missing a lot of parties if you don't arrive on Thursday.
I mean, to be fair, the badge lines in the past couple of years have been really quick. I'm usually in and out in about 10 minutes.
But that's because they started doing badge pickup far earlier than they used to. Like they opened at like 6 p.m., I think, or something, or 4 p.m., leading to huge lines. Now they're doing it like 9 a.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, so badge pickup is not a huge concern anymore. And Carnival for the Storm starts later at night. I mean, if you get there Thursday, yeah, you're rushing a lot. And you're going to a party, potentially, like, after a day of traveling, which isn't ideal. But I wouldn't say setting some up for failure. It's just, it's a long day. Thankfully, that's not a problem for me, because I'm getting there on Tuesday.
Fair enough. But yeah, that's always been an issue for me, the dates of BlizzCon and like, I know people who are already planning to book for the 29th through the 2nd or 3rd or 4th or something next year, and I'm like, can't see them doing it that way. They have to move it next year. Like, their staff would be furious if they had to basically miss out on their family Halloween to go to BlizzCon and work.
That's true.
I would if I was a parent. And they got lots of them, so... But, yeah, we'll see. Anyways, going back to the original topic we were talking about. The BlizzCon opening week stuff, I'm very curious to see how well attended that is. And hopefully in future, Blizzard will do better about announcing their dates ahead of time. So people can plan around what's going to happen. Because right now there's too much uncertainty, I think, in BlizzCon dates and what's going to be doable. Like, I don't know anybody who would have known that they would be doing the opening week stuff as a viewable, attendable event, because it's previously just been streamed.
Yeah.
So now, if you want to go to that, you got to change your entire schedule for that week. It's not very nice to your people, that's all, in my opinion.
Right.
All right, let's move along, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Have you guys been missing Jana? It's been a while since we saw her, right?
Been a hot minute.
Yeah.
Well, it
sounds like... Is she still mad?
Oh, probably. She's is there a point you could imagine where she's not mad? she's been pretty angry lately. She's been pretty angry since Theramore.
I don't see why. I mean, it was just her entire city and people being, you know.
Yeah, and she only almost sent a tidal wave on Argrimmar. It's no big deal.
Yeah, it's fine.
NBD.
no big deal at all. As we would expect, since we are going to her home country, or home island, I guess, we're going to see Jaina come back in this expansion. But first, we're going to see her in a comic. Blizzard shared this week a sneak peek at the upcoming Battle for Azeroth comic reunion, and they're releasing a series of comics over the next month. This series will be a total of 3, and they'll highlight different important characters leading up to the expansion.
I wonder if Vol'jin will be in it.
That'd be interesting. I'm sure he has some thoughts. But Jada's story, I mean, last we saw her, she got angry at Khadgar because he was welcoming the Horde back into Dalaran after they betrayed her as the leader of the Kirin Tor. And she just went off somewhere for an expansion, just, you know, doing whatever she's doing. People wondered and made some interesting, they made some theories that are utterly ridiculous, I'll be honest, in my opinion. But there are theories that have been wondered for a while. What do you guys think of the many theories of Jaina's current state?
Hashtag Jaina is a dreadlord.
Hashtag no, she's not.
You know what's funny? I remember the origin of that whole thing. It was Jesse Cox. I was joking about it on one of his videos, and next thing I know, I'm just seeing it everywhere. Like, and it was definitely just in jest, but you know how the internet does things.
Yeah, they do. They do things.
I like Frasley's theory.
What is this?
She started a coffee shop called Pour More Coffee.
I'll take that over some of the theories I've heard. Sad to say.
I mean, most of the only theory that I really heard was that she went back home. The only serious theory I heard is that she went back home. And, you know, that's very clearly the case, because we're going to her home, too. I don't know what other theories were out there, but maybe I'm just not paying attention enough.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they show of where she's been and what she's been doing. And I think we should have that in the next few days, maybe, or a few weeks. They showed a preview. I don't see a schedule of when we expect those being released. But I'm very intrigued by their move to comics, especially free comics, as ways to tell stories they don't want to tell in game.
Yeah, I dig this.
Absolutely. It's definitely a very interesting way of handling things.
It definitely calms the people who are on the more vocal side of complaining when lore is provided elsewhere, outside of game. I mean, typically they're complaining about the novels because they want all that lore in the game. I mean, we're still going to get the novels, obviously. So, I don't know. But, yeah. This is a good middle ground. Free comic. At least I assume it's free. It's probably free.
I assume so.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see who the other two comics are going to be. Which characters the next two comics are going to focus on. I assume one's going to be Sylvanas. That's just easy.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think the other one's probably going to be Anduin.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. And I was thinking about asking that same question. I was scrolling through to see if we had a question of the week for next week. And hey, you already hit that.
Yeah, but that's what we would like. Actually, you know what? We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get to the actual question later on. We but all it's interesting know. Go ahead.
I said it's interesting that, I mean, I guess, yeah, definitely want Jaina in there because she's something big for BFA, and then, yeah, like you said, Sylvanas and Anduin as well.
Yeah, they definitely seem like the major players here.
Yeah. And it's only three comics?
Yes.
Okay. That's Alliance bias there, if there's three Alliance or if two Alliance comics and one Horde.
Well, I don't think... Is Jaina still with the Alliance? She kind of left all in a huff.
I would consider her non-factional.
Well, if she's a Dreadlord, then she's definitely not Alliance.
That's a great big if right there.
Well, but do you know? No, I didn't think so.
You are correct. We do not know.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to many, many BFA beta things that came out this past week.
Medros, do you have 5 million gold yet?
No, I have 2.2 million.
2.2? So you're going to try to get that there, Reigns of the Mighty Caravan Brutosaur?
Absolutely not.
What? But it's a multi-seater.
And it has an auctioneer.
An auctioneer. Like, you could auction while you ride your big, huge dino of awesomeness from that you made from auctions. Like, that guy basically prints money for you.
Yeah, no. No, not looking for a dancer mount.
And what? As a merchant?
I have better things to do with my money than spend 5 million gold on a mount.
But you could go in, like, some remote place where you don't have the lag from the city and the auction house and the people dropping the things that make you make the train sets or whatever that make you make all the noise. You could just do it in the peace and quiet of anywhere that you want. And you can sell your auction. Oh,
wait. No, you can't.
But there's no mailbox on it, though, is there?
That's why you be. That's why you do it from an engineer.
Yeah.
Just drop one of the mailboxes.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's viable. If you didn't want real professions.
Hey. Hey. Engineering is the best profession.
I kid. But no, that's cool. It's nice to see these gold sinks. I mean, that's way over my level. Like, I did the gold sinks in MOP because I had so much gold. I'm not even at a million gold, though, so I got no hope of getting that. But, you know,
yeah, something I still need to get towards. The spider mount, and that's 2 million gold.
There's other pets and mounts that are coming, and some of them are super cute, though.
But it's a dinosaur. Also, R.I.P. every door. R.I.P. all the doors.
All the doors.
Oh, yeah, that thing's going to be so much for pain in doors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, you won't be able to run anywhere.
Kodos and Elix were bad. This thing's got a 10-foot neck.
Yeah.
R.I.P. all the doors. Can you imagine a Torin on that mount?
Oh, God.
Because those things will normally scale to your character size, too, right?
And then using, like, the Elixir of Giant Growth and whatever else?
You'll never get through a door again.
I'm just imagining, like, Stormwind or
Old. That's clearly why it has an Auctioneer. Because you'll never be able to get inside of a building again.
I'm just imagining it in any capital city right now. Oh, that's kind of amazing.
Oh, wow. And then the faction discounts apply to the price. So instead of being 5 million, it's only 4.5 million. Today only.
Oh, only.
Yeah.
Or all the time if you're a goblin.
I want it
so bad. But I only have 170 some... yeah, I don't have a lot of gold. 100-some-odd thousand.
Well, I might drop you some gold on Dalaran, because if I stop playing on there, then it's just going to be sitting, burning a hole.
Ooh!
So, you know, that'll be, you know... I can't math. 1/9 of what you need?
Alright. And now that I'm on raiding, I can, you know, run a bunch of old stuff.
Ooh.
And level up professions...
Four down.
Properly, for the first time since Mists of Pandaria.
You don't have to run old stuff to level up your professions. You can do that with, like, the current level stuff.
No, I meant just, like, to get transmog stuff and other BOEs from raids.
Well, you probably want to do that earlier than later. I was talking to... Matt?
Yeah, Matt's been telling us for the past couple of weeks to run old stuff now.
Yeah, because I moved desks. I now sit beside him at work, so that's dangerous. I showed him... I taught him about the Undermine Journal on Friday, and so now he's surfing on that all the time.
Way to kill his productivity.
Right?
So, here's my frustration with TSM right now. Every time I add something to it, it forgets it.
Ruh-roh.
Just download more memory.
Maybe you need version 4.
Yep.
See, I don't even know when this began. Like, All I know is currently, every time I go to do an auction posting, I need to go in and re-add stuff that I did last time, because once I log out, it's gone.
That's weird.
And it's not a permissions problem, because I've ensured the entire WoW directory has full open permissions, so it's not a write permissions problem. Just, I don't know what the problem is.
Maybe you should tweet one of the creators. I think Sapu is a creator. And just ask him. Or just do a search, a Google search. Or look on their website.
I've tried a Google search. I cannot find anybody having the same issue.
Well, tweet him and see if he knows.
Yeah. I might just do a refresh of my UI. It's probably something I need to do before BFA anyway. So. It's
probably not a bad idea. I probably do the same thing, too.
Just make sure you finish it in one go. Otherwise, he's left with a half-broken mess that doesn't work properly for most things.
Well, I mean, there's definitely some of the ones that I have now that I would have to basically copy over from my current one because they're not available anymore or not being updated. Like, TradesBar does not work for anything new. I don't know why. I have to, like, manually add in the entries for it. It's weird.
Sounds like a lot of work.
No, it's just, at this point, it's a matter of copy and pasting. I always have some tune that knows, the same profession, so it's just finding which character it is and then copying their stuff in.
Okay.
It's pretty easy, but it's frustrating.
That sounds a little too, that sounds a little, like, a little too work adjacent for me to want to do it.
It makes my life happy, that's all.
Yep. More power to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
Jinx.
So, we started out with 10 characters per realm. And for a lot of years, that was a lot of characters, I would think. Like, we only had... like, we didn't have 10 classes to start with, did we? We only had 8, right? No. What do we have to start with? Priest, Paladin, Shaman, Warrior, Warlock, Druid...
Hunter.
Rogue. So 8. I can't think of any others.
I think that's it.
Yeah, and then we had 8 races. So, you know, back then we had lots of room to grow. And then we got Blood Elves and Draenei.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit less room. That kind of filled up our 10 slots. And then as they added Death Knights and Pandaren and other stuff, they've had to add a little bit here and there to the number of character slots we get. We knew this was probably going to happen, but they didn't specifically state that it was going to happen. They have, though, confirmed now that for the release of Battle for Azeroth, the character limit will be increased to 18 per realm to make room for Dark Iron Dwarves and Maghar Orcs. Are you happy there, Toasty?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
A lot of warriors. And like the last increase didn't happen all that long ago. The increase to 16 happened just at the end of January. I think the increase to 12 happened with Legion for the Blood Elves, or not Blood Elves, the Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
So it's ramping up pretty quick from 10 going into Legion to 18. At the end of Legion / launch of BFA.
I remember when I first noticed that they added a scroll bar for it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was for this expansion.
Yeah.
When they did the pre-release, pre-order of BFA, they added that patch added the scroll bar so that you could scroll through your characters because you have now too many of them.
It just occurred to me, that tweet specifically addresses the Dark Iron Dwarves and the Maghar. They did not address the Zendalari and the Culturans.
That's interesting.
Are we going to see 20 characters per server? That's insane. Especially considering the character limit per account is still 50. So we can have almost half of our characters on one account on a server if we really wanted to.
Getting there, yeah. And they've said that there could be more coming during the expansion.
Yeah. Like Tortolans?
Like,
give me Tortolans. Tortolans. Screw the Volpirans. I want Tortolans.
Well, I mean, if they're giving you Tortolans, they have to give something to the other side. They can't just give you Tortolans. It can't be just one faction. They have to give two.
Give them the snake people.
Yeah.
Two reptilian.
I'd be happy with the fox people or the tiger people. As long as it's another, you know, another animal people. That's all.
No fox people. Screw the fox people.
No, thank you.
Frasley just requested leper gnomes. So I think he's going to race change to a leper gnome on the horde as soon as they become available.
Got to change him to the Burning Legion role.
Okay, so Mechanos for Alliance, but what do we give the Horde as a mechanical race of people? Bionic Goblins, there we go.
Okay, yeah. Okay, but Tortolans for Alliance.
No, Tortolans and Vulpiran, and then Mechanomes and Bionic Goblins.
No Vulpira. No Vulpira.
Yes.
No.
But he's calling for the Vulpira to be a Horde faction, so you could just kill them on sight.
Oh, I'm okay with that. All right.
Yeah. See?
What if Tortolans were a Horde?
Well, I don't know. I might cry. I might cry. Because then I'd have to faction change all my characters. That's expensive. Because I want Tortolans then. You know what? Tortolans share a skeleton with the Pandaren. I think they should follow suit with how they treated the Pandaren and make them a bifactional race.
And what classes would you imagine that Tortolan would have?
Warrior?
Not warrior.
No. Obviously warrior.
No, they should be the first class without any warrior.
First race.
First race without any warrior, yeah.
I think warrior, hunter, shaman.
So, a Tortolan hunter with a turtle pet?
Yeah. Or you know what? Wait, because don't the Pandaren have a turtle pet? So, Tortolan should have a bear pet. So, warrior, obviously, because every race is capable of fielding warriors. Hunter, shaman. I'm not convinced on druid.
Okay, I want the Tortolan warrior to use the shell from his back as a shield.
Oh, wait. I just thought of something amazing for a Tortolan. A monk.
That'd be funny.
Tortolans need to be a monk. Or, I guess, rogue. Rogue could work, too. Yep. So, hunter, warrior, shaman, monk, rogue. I guess it's no healers. Oh, shaman.
Monk has a healer.
Shaman's there. No cloth. I'm okay with that. Alright, yeah. There we go. Tortolan classes. Done.
Okay, Blizzard, Toshi's done the work for you. You just gotta put them into the game.
Oh, they need a mount, too. Oh!
Turtle mount.
Huh?
Turtle mount.
No.
Turtle mount with a turtle pet, and a turtle hunter pet, and a turtle battle pet. That'd be perfect.
Nah, I think it needs to be a bear.
Why a bear?
Because the Pandaren have turtle mounts and turtle pets for their hunters. So it'd just be an inverse.
Okay.
Either that or a giant rat mount. Actually.
Alright. Yeah, okay.
Actually, I'm okay. I'm liking the giant rat mount thing. Ooh, choices.
As long as I can name my rat mount Splinter.
There we go. What topic were we even talking about?
the character realm. Characters per realm limit being raised?
Right, okay. Well,
this is going to be a short show, eh? Yeah. This is going to be a short show. We're already over an hour.
No kidding. As we were just talking about Tortolan hunters, I think it's prudent to tell everybody that the hunters are seeing some new animations coming for them in the expansion thing that's coming, Battle for Azeroth. I think it's just like their idle animations have changed. In regards to... not the idle animations, their battle-ready animations have been seen in updates. And I think I saw something earlier about their strafe animations being updated as well, making it look less ridiculous. So that's cool. Hunter's got some new stuff. They got more than updated animations, though. They've also got several new pet families. There's the Toad and Lizard, which are not exotic families, which are standard families. And they've also got the Pterodax and the Trilobite, which are considered exotic families for the, in terms of pet families. And Mr. Fiesel was teasing us a little bit about a potential fifth family, and I believe it's since been confirmed that hunters can now tame unicorns. You can have a unicorn pet. And I kind of love it.
That's crazy.
Are you guys going to get a unicorn pet for your hunters?
If I ever play my hunter, no.
I might have to try to find a trilobite pet, though. A trilobite pet sounds amazing. Unicorns are cool, see, I guess.
The problem is that the unicorns I'm seeing here aren't proper unicorns.
What do you mean?
I want a real unicorn. A unicorn with the one straight horn coming out of the front of the head with straight, not like some curved like hook. They look wrong to me.
Unicorn adjacent. Should we rename the pet family to unicorn adjacent?
Sure. Okay. Unicorn adjacent.
All right. So we've got the pterodactyl, the trilobite, the lizard, the toad, and the unicorn adjacent families.
Yeah, Blizzard, we're doing all your work for you. You're welcome. You know, feel free to bring out the new expansion, you know, a couple weeks early in our interstate. Thanks.
But hunters, they're not the only ones getting new stuff. Right, Fan?
Yeah. But I'm sad that... So there's new Warlock animations, and they look really cool. I checked out the video capture, or the videos, animations from before, but all three things are demonology. So there's Call Dreadstalkers, Summon Demonic Tyrant, and Demon Bolt. Summon Demonic Tyrant is pretty cool. It's a new summon that empowers your active demons. It also arrives, from a portal in the Twisting Nether. So they're cool. I'd like to see what they have for the other specializations as well. Because I don't play Demo anymore. I play Affliction. But I might change to Demo. I don't even know yet. But I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I really dig the Tyrant thing. That Tyrant looks badass.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as Demo, I was always using... Yeah, no, I can tell you. I can't remember things because I don't play them very much. The special thing for... with the blades.
The special thing with the Shivara?
No. Oh my, I'm horrible that I can't remember this. Felguard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With their fake blade storm.
Yeah. Skill storm.
Yeah.
Although that means that you don't get an interrupt for that.
It's fine. Who needs interrupts?
I don't know. I was using them a whole bunch with my Doomguard.
Yeah, let's just forget the part earlier in the show when I was referencing needing an interrupt to my Warlock.
Shadow Fury.
Shadow Fury. Yeah, we did find out the name. It's Shadow Fury.
Yeah. But no, these are cool. Like, the Demon Bolt thing is cool. The Dreadstalkers, like, I think what it is right now is you just kind of cast them and they jump. But this one has, like, pools of shadow underneath them that they jump out of, which is really neat.
Yeah, I'm digging how these things aren't kind of just fading into existence like most pet summons happen.
Yeah.
There's an actual source, which is cool, and that's the whole fantasy.
Nah, I like it. Can't wait to see if they have more for destruction and affliction as well.
Oh, probably. I mean, they said specifically that Warlocks were going to be seeing the AE updates this expansion, right?
Yay, Warlocks. Go, Warlocks.
Yay.
So, yeah, that's
Yay,
it. Just
Warlocks.
Three things.
Yay,
Warlocks. You like Warlocks. You like our cookies.
Just look at it this way, Mandros. You can have fancy, pretty new stuff to look at when you're leveling that Void Elf.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
How's that coming along, anyways?
Great. It's coming perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly according to
my plans.
So you haven't touched it. Got it.
I have touched it. I log into it at least once a week.
Do you do anything on it?
No.
Do we have a timeline for when we want to do these? Like,
no, that was the mistake we made.
You,
we didn't
you
establish
to
a, timeline.
A timeline on that. Yeah. Yeah, that was your vital mistake there. You didn't give me a time limit.
Well, if I hit level cap on a paladin, then I'm going to quit doing the show until you hit level cap on your warlock.
All right. That I completely understand that.
What level is your paladin, fam?
My paladin?
Yeah.
108? No, 92. But I don't know if I would have to roll like a new one and not use my Blood Elf one.
We didn't establish those rules either, so I'm going to say it's fine.
Okay.
We didn't say it can't be boosted.
Yeah, that's the only stipulation. It could not be boosted.
It hasn't been boosted. I used to tank on it like way back in the day.
What's a tank?
Right? Avengers Shield.
I mean, that's Paladin Tank, right? Just Avenger Shield?
Right? I don't know. Sometimes you gotta bot people.
Yeah, that's true. So, we got Hunters getting updated stuff. Warlocks are getting getting updated stuff. And I believe some cities are seeing some updates, right, Metros?
That's what I hear. So, when things happen to major locations on the map, people have to go somewhere. Much like the original sacking of Stormwind by the orcs, the humans went to Lordaeron at that point. The folks of Darnassus need to go somewhere when things happen over that way. And they're going to go to Stormwind. So it looks like the Night Elf and Worgen refugees are scattered around the city, with a great concentration of them being near the Stormwind Embassy. And looks like they'll be on the side of the roads you walk on, and by the water. There'll be lots down by the harbor. Lots of injured soldiers over there, as well as a new boat that goes to Borealis. So that is what we're looking forward to in Stormwind. Orgrimmar will have the refugees of Lordaeron, Forsaken, littering the streets and by the embassy as well there. But, so that's what we're getting. And we're also apparently getting some interesting dialogue around the war. But that's a whole different story altogether. It looks pretty interesting. And, the results of war are going to come home pretty hardcore, I think, this one. What do you guys think?
I'm watching or looking at these screenshots of the Forsaken in Orgrimmar, and it kind of hits home a little bit, where it's like, wow, Undercity is gone. This is where my warlock grew up. And it kind of hits me in the feels.
I feel the same way, honestly, about Teldrassil going the route it's going.
Yeah.
Because that's where my warrior was born. He looks a lot different than he did back then. He's gone through some changes. But that's where he started out. He started out in Teldrassil. It's very real now. Because there are NPCs from there that are just scattered across Stormwind. It's...
Yeah.
Wow. They actually did it.
Yep. And are the cinematics in the beta right now for what is happening around all that?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think it's still a lot of insert awesome cinematic here.
And I fully approve of that until the expansion launches.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At least the pre-patch launches, anyway.
Huh. All right.
Did we, I mean, we're kind of at the end of the news. Did we talk about flying in a previous episode?
I know we said that it's unlocking very much a similar way to how it unlocked in Legion, where the initial part would likely be getting a mount speed increase, and then you'd build on that as the expansion goes forward.
Yeah. There was a... From that last thing at the bottom, there's a link to the Road to Acquire Flying in BFA, Pathfinder Part 1. And Pathfinder Part 1 is, yeah, like you said, Reward has increased mount speed in Kul'Thras and Zandalar.
Yep. And so, status... What has BFA become the status quo?
Zandalar Forever, Kul'Thras Diplomat.
Wait, Zandalar Forever? Tourist. They get the Black Panther reference? Boo! Just boo!
Well, you get Kul'Thras.
I want the Black Panther reference. Boo! Kul'Thras.
I wonder if Kul'Thras with the following achievements. Though,
well, I mean, those.
I think you have to do all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you still have to have Zandalar Forever, to get part one of Pathfinder.
Yeah, and I mean, Fresley mentioned in the chat it's looking ambiguous if I require Horde and Alliance. I don't think they would do that because they did mention they mentioned repeatedly throughout this whole thing that the end, like the 110 content. For Alliance is going to take us to Zandalar, and for the Horde, the 110 content is going to take them to Kul'Thras. So I think that both are going to require similar, like the that faction equivalent.
Yeah,
in order to get it.
I mean, that makes sense because you won't be able to actually get it until you're 110 anyways. So
yeah,
you have to. Basically prove that you've done a whole bunch of content and then hey, you can get it magic.
Yeah, I doubt they would go the route of requiring us to level a character on both sides. I don't think that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, they do say in the notes here that the achievement shows both Alliance and Horde criteria, which is likely a beta bug, as the Battle for Azeroth Explorer Battle for Azeroth Explorer is across both. But Kul'Thras and Kul'Thras Diplomat are Alliance only, while Zandalar Forever and Zandalar Diplomat are both Horde only.
Oh.
Okay, so there you go. Forget that whole thing I just said. I need to read.
So, yes, Zandalar Forever is a Horde quest. Horde achievement, sorry.
Boo!
Well, looks like you'll just have to roll Horde.
I guess.
Alright. There are worse things to do, Toasty.
Yeah, go play a paladin. Set it up, I knocked it down.
I totally set that up. Alright, let's talk about our next sponsor, shall we?
So our second sponsor are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. So today we're going to continue our journey into the Heroes of Olympus series with the third book, The Mark of Athena. And let's take a listen.
His knuckles were white on the hilt of his golden sword. Otherwise, he looked calm for a guy who was making himself a target. Over his jeans and orange Camp Half-Blood t-shirt, he donned a toga and a purple cloak. Symbols of his old rank as praetor. With his wind-ruffled blonde hair and his icy blue eyes, he looked ruggedly handsome and in control, just like a son of Jupiter should. He'd grown up at Camp Jupiter, so hopefully his familiar face would make the Romans hesitant to blow the ship out of the sky. Annabeth tried to hide it, but she still didn't completely trust the guy. He acted too perfect, always following the rules, always doing the honorable thing. He even looked too perfect. In the back of her mind, she had a nagging thought. What if this is a trick and he betrays us? What if we sail into Camp Jupiter and he says, "Hey, Romans, check out these prisoners and this cool ship I brought you"? Annabeth doubted that would happen. Still, she couldn't look at him without getting a bitter taste in her mouth. He'd been part of Hera's forced exchange program to introduce the two camps. Her most annoying majesty, Queen of Olympus, had convinced the other gods that their two sets of children, Roman and Greek, had to combine forces to save the world from the evil goddess Gaia, who was awakening from the earth, and her horrible children, the giants.
So once again, that was The Mark of Athena, the third book in the Heroes of Olympus series, written by Rick Riordan, narrated by Joshua Swanson. And you can find that in over 200,000 titles at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Indeed. So the question we got last week was, what are some alternate names you'd give to the new PvP ranks?
And Frezzy, Lord of the Punted, said dead. Usually dead, occasionally dead, not dead as often. Okay, you might be good at PvP and lead hacks.
Erlina, maker of popcorn, says BFFs with the spirit healer.
And Zephariah the Entertained says cute gnome that's mostly dead, goblin with a gnarly face demon that is usually dead, fluffy torrent that just got rained on that is not as dead as the previous two, purple night elf that is way too purple and not quite as dead, Orc Warrior of the Death Wish, but killing everything in sight. Dwarf Pallies are lead.
I disagree with that last one.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Next week's question is, what other NPC comics do you want to see going into BFA?
Okay, well, we talked about what's most probable, you know, Anduin and Sylvanas. I would like to see Bane. And maybe Starfang?
Ooh. But what about, those are just two Horde ones, what about Alliance ones?
In terms of Alliance, I think Greymane would also be a compelling story, and probably Tyrande. Especially Tyrande, considering the whole Teldrassil thing.
Yeah, that's very true.
What about you guys?
Thrall? Gotta get Thrall in there somewhere.
That's true. My apologies for excluding him.
And
don't apologize to him.
I don't think there would be a comic for Vol'jin, but maybe. What about like something like who's the Demon Hunter guy?
Illidan.
Illidan, yeah. One for Illidan would be kind of interesting. Just kind of wrap up Legion.
Hey Illidan, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Just hanging out with the Titans, doing my thing.
You know what? You could have like Illidan and who's the new Lich King? Is it Tyrion?
Bolvar.
No, it's Bolvar.
Bolvar, yes. You could have like an Illidan Bolvar like kind of cross thing. Maybe they're talking through the Nether or something. I don't know.
All right.
That makes absolutely no sense, but
it's fine.
Throw out something outlandish.
I would like to see comics about the ghost of Uther and Arthas having a chat. And then I want to see one about Malfurion and Tyrande and the stuff that happens at the tree.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's answers with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. Time for some shoutouts. So our Patreon shoutouts for this week are the guild ones. So, of course, as usual, one of our most common sponsors at this level is Nivemi over at the Daily Frostwolf. And they're a horde, the Frostwolf is a horde guild over on Sarfang. She's the guild leader, and she just writes some stuff, her thoughts on what's going on in game and what's happening. You can find it over at frostwolves.blogspot.com. And it's really cool to see her thoughts on the game. She's a really interesting person. And if you happen to be on the Sarfang server and a Horde player, why don't you check out their guild? I'm sure it's a very cool time. So, Toshi, how about you give us the next one?
All right, so I'm going to give a shout-out to the hardcore casuals. They're over on the Dalaran Alliance server. Even though I'm not with them anymore, they're still great friends, and they're looking to bolster their numbers going into Battle for Azeroth. So if raiding is your thing, get a hold of Junks on the Dalaran Alliance side on the US server, and let him know you're interested. Also, you can just hop into the All Things Azeroth Discord. He's in there, too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Fan, what's your shout-out for the week?
I'm never prepared for these.
You know, it's almost like you don't know that it's happening every week.
I want to give a shout-out to Con Before the Storm crew for all their work getting together, or getting that pre-show together. It's a lot of work, and they've put a lot of work and they've had some really good success, and the times that I was at World of Podcasts, I thought they were super fun. So look forward to seeing what they do, what kind of new stuff they have this year, even though I won't be there. I'll be there one year.
I'm going to echo that shout out just because Come Before the Storm is something that I really enjoy every year, and I believe they're just $5,000 short of their stretch goal, which will allow them to do World of Podcasts. So yeah, get on that stuff, because World of Podcasts is a fantastic part of that whole experience, and I definitely recommend it to anybody who is going to BlizzCon and is there on the Thursday night. I'm also going to shout out to the Jeffs. Oh, it was a great season, guys. Sad that it ended sooner than we expected, but it was... You can't say that wasn't a fantastic season. Truly historic. Also to the Knights, I guess. Historic season, all that other crap. Yay.
Yeah, Come Before the Storm is less... It's just over $50 away from their second stretch goal.
Yeah. Which that's I think awesome. Allows for an extra bartender. I think that's what their second stretch goal is.
Add the second ballroom, which means they expand the art gallery and expand the meet and greet area.
Oh, I thought it was a bartender. Maybe that was their first stretch goal. It might have been their first one. Anyway.
Not sure. But yeah, awesome to the folks over at Come Before the Storm, and yes, to the Jets. My shout out is going to go to our listeners. You guys have been patient with me. I realized through conversations in Discord that all month I've been messing up our RSS feed by putting the wrong dates in. So my apologies. If you do notice problems, please reach out on Discord, reach out on Twitter, reach out in email, because we don't always notice the problems when they're there, and it's good to fix them sooner than 10 days before the end of the month. So thanks. Thanks for your patience. All right, so I guess that's about it. So I guess do the outro, I guess.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-8-C-A-O-L-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to the show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeth is at Fandeth. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. You can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shadow Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the Jets out of the playoffs.
But that's now.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
I'm sad again.
On the other side of the Jets' amazing season?
There we go.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.